Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Andrew.
And this is FPL SideNet. Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable.
Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a pitch.
Hey managers, welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on Thursday morning, May the 16th. And as always, I'm joined by my man Andrew, the Samwise Gamgee to my Frodo Baggins, who has been by my side on this perilous journey over 37 game weeks as we search for the one game week rank to rule them all. How's that?
That was good. That was one of your best.
I was certain I was going to stuff that up, but there we go.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
No, you nailed it. You nailed it.
Insert awkward silence here.
It has been a perilous journey indeed, but it's been a good one. It's been a good one.
Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Okay, I've that's all right. Because I know your hate towards Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I am a Star Wars hater. I actually liked Lord of the Rings. I watched each of them once, and that was enough for me because even though I liked it, I just can't face like another 9 hours.
Oh, you haven't lived.
Yeah. Yeah. I never saw The Hobbit. Should I do that?
No, The Hobbit. Yeah, don't bother. The Hobbit, not that great.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that then.
Yeah. I think I saw Return of the King 5 times at the cinemas.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm a nerd. You know this by now. The people out there know the drill.
That's 15 hours, though, of
hashtag
Return
new
of the
life.
King.
Lego just released a new massive one of the tower sets, too, from Lord of the Rings. So I have to save up my my shackles. Might be something for the off-season.
How much does that bad boy set you back?
I don't know. I haven't even looked at the price. I'm just already
hundreds.
Like pre-order into my shopping cart.
Yeah.
Worry about that later.
Yeah, that's yeah. I guess you can just buy that instead of a kit, you know, instead of buying a new kit every two
Kits,
weeks like you normally
plural.
Do. Yeah.
Those bricks are expensive. And I'm talking about Lego.
Yeah. No. Very good, very good.
Anyway, game week 37. It is freshly minted this morning, and an eventful morning, especially with that late Chelsea clean sheet wipeout in what was it, like the 147th minute that we had from the ton of injury time.
It was so painful, Pete. It was so painful.
So close. We were this close to greatness.
We were. I had the double Chelsea defense. I had Kukurea, who was on bonus.
Cuckoo Razzler, as our friend Q has always called him.
Yeah, correct. Man, he really has turned his career around this season, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think
towards the end of this season.
Yeah, it was. Even if you didn't have like an eye on the game the whole time, you knew if Cucurella or Caicedo was on the ball because of the boos from the Brighton crowd.
Yes, correct.
I think Cucurella took a lot of joy out of that win. So, yeah, he was pretty happy about that one.
Yeah. He didn't have any trouble celebrating the goal that he set up for Cole Palmer, did he?
Absolutely not. I think he was very keen to remind the Brighton fans of where his loyalties now lie.
Yeah, totally. But that clean sheet wipeout with 2 minutes to go, that cost me a green arrow. I was on a green and now
you had double Chelsea defense, didn't you?
Yeah, I had Petrovic as well.
Should we get into your side now anyway? Might
yeah,
well.
Sure. Let's
fresh off the free hit. Chip season. Yeah, like you said, unfortunately, a red arrow, albeit small, but it showed how many bench boosts there were this game week.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, when I looked at live FPL at the start of the game week, like I had on my free hit, I think I had 24 players. So I had, 11 doublers, including captain. So I had 24 players, but then the average in the top 10K had like between 28 and 29 players. So despite having the free hit, I was always expected to get a bit of a red arrow just with the sheer number of fixtures that other people had. Although I nearly pulled off a miracle and got a decent green arrow until that clean sheet wipeout, unfortunately. But Still, I'm relatively happy with Weaker. 124 points. It's incredible that you can get a red arrow on 124 points. But 3 points from Petrovic. I had returns across the back. I had Gvardiol's 27, Pedro Porro 10, Kukurea 6. In the midfield, Sun 4, Palmer 14, Gordon. I think Gordon got 8, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. 8 points.
Yep. Foden 11. Brennan Johnson. I got 7 points from him. He came on as an auto sub for Callum Wilson. And then Haaland captain with 30 and Isak with 4. So I actually had Pickford, White and Branthwaite on the bench. So, you know, once again, heaps of bench points. But yeah. So not a bad week, really, considering I had probably 4 fewer fixtures than the average in the top, you know, 100K. So I wasn't too... not too unhappy with it. I went from 82K to 87K. So I still am a outside shot of top 50K if I go differential in game week 38. Mm. And spoiler alert, I am going differential in game 38. Game Ooh. Week 38.
Now, you went with your boy Callum Wilson for this game week. Even though he blanked, you were explaining that it actually worked out better for you because of your two drafts that you had.
100%. I did. Having Callum Wilson was actually the hero of my free hit. his 0 points. He became the hero of my free hit. It's quite funny how like the dominoes fell, because the fact that I had Callum Wilson meant that I didn't have a Newcastle defender.
Yeah.
So instead of a Newcastle defender, I went with Gvardiol in that defensive spot, because my other draft had KDB and Foden and Haaland, so triple City attack. But given that I decided to go with Callum Wilson, it meant that I needed to find another defender I liked. So I decided to go with Gvardiol and then have one less City attacker. So I wouldn't have had Gvardiol if I didn't have Wilson. And then on top of that, the fact that I went for Wilson instead of Nico Jackson meant that I got Kukurea for my second, third Chelsea asset. And he got an assist for me this morning as well. He was on for a mega haul until that clean sheet wipeout. Mm-hmm. And then the third part of it was that I got Brennan Johnson 7 points off the bench for Callum Wilson's no-show. So even though KDB kind of returned in both, the fact that, you know, I had Callum Wilson there, the dominoes falling allowed me to have Gvardiol and returns from Kukurea and Johnson. So it worked out better than the draft, the other draft that I had, which had, Nicholas Jackson and KDB instead. So, yeah, pretty happy overall. Callum Wilson, yeah, he did all right. He did all right from sitting on the pine.
And, I've seen a lot of, bench boosters out there that got red arrows as well. Just, I mean, that safety score of, it was like pushing 130, just insane. It just shows how strong the template is. That I think your free hit side was basically template-ish, other than Callum Wilson. But because you didn't have the bench boost, you got the red arrow.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I did get hurt a little bit by the Arsenal clean sheet, because
I thought was what was going to happen for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the one thing that probably hurt me the most.
It was like the one thing you didn't need to happen this game week.
Yeah, that's true. But
it happened. Yeah.
I was expecting it. The other thing that hurt a little bit was the Everton clean sheet, because quite a few people still had Pickford as their second keeper despite, you know, playing the bench boost. So, yeah. But as I said before, I think my starting 11 pretty much matched, or maybe even did a little bit better than a lot of people starting 11. But just the fact that 85% or 83% of people were bench boosting, I just couldn't keep up with the sheer number of fixtures. So I'm pretty happy with only being 4 points short of the safety score, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it's incredible too. I mean, I'm just adding up those bench points there. You're basically on the same points as me. if you played similar squad-ish.
If I had played a bench boost, I think I would have kind of matched all of those bench boosters. I mean, when I played my bench boost, I did get 25 points or 20, I think 25 points from it. So
yeah,
you know, that's great. It's just that I already got them. You know, so they were already banked, unfortunately. But enough about me. You had yet another incredible game week. Like, you're absolutely flying.
The resurgence continues.
It does.
It's been amazing. Like Chelsea. Like, I need the season to keep going.
How many big green arrows in a row have you got? Because they're not.
I've had a few.
They're not just small. Like, every single week, big green arrows.
Yeah, I was having a look at it the other day. So yeah, I've only had like two red arrows in like the last, what is it, 15 game weeks, which is an easier achievement when you're coming from the depths of, you know, 1 million plus myself.
I mean, there's plenty of really good managers out there that have sort of struggled this season and haven't been able to get like out of the doldrums, you know, you know, a few content creators that have had, you know, like the above average guys have both sort of, you know, haven't been able to get out of those kind of ranks that you were at. Same as from Black Box. I think he's still around 1 million. So for the, you know, I don't think it's you can underestimate the achievement of being able to get from where you were. Like, you were around 1 million for quite a while.
Yeah. For a lot of the season.
And now you're up into the top 100K for
five-digit
potentially
range.
Potentially the first time of the season you've been in the top 100K.
Yeah, it is. I'm at the peak at the moment.
Yeah, because last week we were saying, you were saying, I think I might have left my run a little bit late. I think get top 100K might be a bit beyond me. And not only have you done it, but you've done it with a week to spare, so you can push even higher.
Yeah, even last night I appeared on Ryan's show, Scout the Game Week, with Fantasy Football Scout, and we're sort of talking about our aims for the, you know, the last game week. And I was sort of talking about how I've been approaching FPL in that I've just been solely concentrating on mini leagues. And basically the only achievement I've got left to aim for game week 38 is to crack 100K. And I did that this morning, so hopefully.
So now you've got to either stay there, or you've got to set yourself a target of like top 75K or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically all come down to that game week 35 wildcard. So I mean, game week 34 when I dead ended, I had a, you know, really good game week. But since then, like, my game week ranks, like, I've had 96K. 460 and then 187K. I think this game week is about 120K. So, I mean, that's the difference between getting, you know, 2 million game week ranks mostly the weeks. Yeah. And really my side's mostly been template-ish. But just, I don't know, all the decision I've been making, oh, you know, you get a lot of luck as well, which helps. But, yeah, it just makes it a bit more interesting. But, yeah. I should go through it. 144 points, basically, this game week.
Yep.
With, 42K green. So that's why I was, a little bit not too sure if I could actually break 100K. Like, I really needed a really good game week. But, 30% in rank change.
It's amazing. It's such a good game week. And how are you set up for game week 38? Like, you're really pretty happy with how your team looks?
Yeah. I'm basically, like, I've got one transfer and the world's my oyster at the moment. But, yeah, going on my game week, I saw Dan Byrne had a goal rule, like, so close to scoring goals, like the stitching of a ball. And I was like,
because I had
that game on as like a mini screen. So I was watching the games on my laptop this morning. I had the Chelsea one much bigger. The United game on a smaller part. And it was like, I was trying to like expand the screen as quickly as I could to see if it crossed the line. I'm like, oh, it's Dan Byrne. I think it's a goal. And it would have been absolute scenes. But yeah.
Oh, man. No, it would have been huge. But, you know, we can't be greedy, can we, Pete?
No, we can't. We got pretty lucky with the Vardy start to the game week. I mean, and the funny thing was, a lot of us were watching that game and we were all chatting to each other online. And someone, maybe yourself or Ashley, was just like, imagine if they get a penalty, do they let Vardy take it? And then literally, like, that's what happened. Everyone's like,
yeah, it was me that first said it. I can't believe that he didn't want it. I suppose, like I said, I think, like I said in the chat, like, I think the goal difference was too important at that time.
Yeah.
As it turned out, you know, the goal difference is not a factor at all because of how the results have gone. But at that time, he didn't know. So I think he did the right thing by giving it to Alvarez. But You know what? It would have been really annoying if you took it and missed it. Because then
I know. Like, I was sort of half thinking, I actually sort of don't want him to take it. Like, considering that I wanted, he's on like 21 points at that stage. I was just like, oh, if he misses it, it's going to be like a real killer. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. When you're up at the casino, you just got to get up and gotta, walk away. You know, you don't play that extra hand. Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, no, the bench boost worked well. I was pretty happy when I got up this morning for the games and I saw Bruno was listed to play. I thought, oh, that's pretty good. Even though I wasn't too bothered that he didn't, if he wasn't going to play, I mean, basically with the Richarlison news that he was ruled out, my option was going to be him for Kai Havertz. And I think Kai Havertz only got 6 points for the game week. So even if Bruno didn't play, I would have only been 2 points up once you take the hit into calculations, because I had the two free transfers which I used. So I wasn't too upset about that. It's not like I missed out on a mega haul from someone, but
yeah, true.
More happy he played and got those points. So
Totally.
A bit of a claim that he might have had. Replays have shown like a slight touch maybe off his boot for the first goal.
I don't think so.
Think so?
I watched the replay so many times and I've seen so many people tweet saying, oh, it clearly touches his foot. I honestly don't see it. So I don't know whether my eyes, maybe I should have gone to Specsavers, but I feel like people are just seeing something that isn't there if they own Bruno. But yeah. I swear to God, I looked at that 10 times and I could not see it touch his foot, but maybe it did.
Look,
only Bruno knows.
It wouldn't be the first time FPL Towers has given Bruno a ghost assist end up paying that.
I think that they knew that and they were like, well, we can't fucking do this again.
It's, we got too much heat last time.
Yeah, exactly. It's one all.
Really good game week, and yeah, it's crazy. We're already heading into game week 38. It's only a few days away, and
I tell you what, I can't wait to watch the Goal Rush show at game week 38. It's literally my favorite 2 hours of the year.
Yeah.
This morning when I was watching, Chelsea Brighton, and there was just so much going on in that game and the United Newcastle game that it was like hard to keep up with.
Yeah,
watching the games really, and then like what people were sending like messages through, and I was like, how am I going to do this for 10 games? I'm struggling for two this morning.
So I had those two games on my laptop, but my phone, I had the Chelsea women's game on because they were playing Spurs in like the penultimate round, and they had to win to keep top spot. So I was sort of like following three games that were all stagnated by like 15 minutes.
Yeah, right. Did they win?
Yes, Chelsea won 1-0. So
nice. So is that the title for them, or are they still?
They basically have to, I think if they win their last game or even draw, I think they keep the title, because it looked out of reach a few weeks ago, and then they had an 8-0 win to make up the goal difference.
Well, it looks like the men's and women's team are following the same trajectory, just that last end of season push.
Hey, what did you make of the City Spurs game yesterday morning? Because that was a fun watch.
Yeah, it was.
Not if you're an Arsenal fan, but
what a moment! What a moment when Son missed that 1-1.
Yeah. When he was running through. Oof.
That's the biggest moment of the title, isn't it? The title race.
Yeah, the Ortega save was unreal. I don't think enough credit's gone. A lot of people have just blamed Son for missing that, but like Ortega, he's basically just come onto the pitch a few, like not that long beforehand, and then pulled out on, you know, a save like that with his leg. It was very similar to Emi Martinez at the World Cup against Australia. Remember when he made that save in injury time Australia getting the equalizer right at the death? It had that sort of same vibe, but incredible. Pep was on the floor. We got a Pep meme.
Yeah, he was.
New
he
Pep
was.
Meme That's, added. Chicky DMs.
100%. 100%. Like, I was thinking like when he's lying on the ground, like horizontal on the ground, I in my head I had like images of like people doing photoshops with like a dinosaur approaching or something.
Yeah,
and he just like Jurassic Park style, him like trying to get away. Yeah. It was it's definitely going to be used for years to come, that as a meme template.
Yeah, that game delivered a lot with us for Pep, because I think he was kind of carrying just scratching his nuts like a good like 30 seconds.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. I know, but yeah, as far as, yeah, I was semi-stressed watching that. Like, I really did not want, I'm sorry, Arsenal fans, but I really did not want them to win the league. So I was watching that, you know, with every inch of my body, you know, wanting Spurs to lose that game. And a lot of debate about Spurs fandom after that, both, you know, internally, externally, as Ange has hinted. And we really saw cranky Ange yesterday, both during the game and afterwards. So I think he's a little bit
increasingly cranky as the season has worn on. I guess yeah. That's what being the manager of Tottenham will do to you. But the jovial Ange that everybody loves at the start of the season,
Spurs have killed him.
Yeah, they've broken his spirit.
Oh, he'll be stepping off the plane next week when they come down to Melbourne to play that exhibition game, and yeah, he's just going to look like a shadow of a man.
It's still been a good season for them. Like, you know, yeah. to come fifth, I assume they will come fifth. I'm sure they can get a point against Sheffield United. It's definitely forward progress, but yeah, he still has some work to do.
It's funny. I was mentioning this with Ryan last night that the Spurs season and the Chelsea season has been very much the same, except that they've just been flipped around. Because Spurs started like a house on fire, and they've just, as the season's gone, just dropped off, which is very strange because they haven't had the fixture congestion of other teams. A few injuries, but not
Chelsea
more than...
Chelsea have arguably had more injuries, but they've
The Chelsea injury numbers that they released. I don't know if you saw the numbers flying around, like from the last, I think they've, the last three seasons, the injuries Chelsea have had, it's just, it's like double the amount of the team that's sitting second.
Yeah, yeah. Well, shocking. Things are looking quite positive for next season for Chelsea. So that's one good thing that you've got to look forward to.
And it'll be a Reece James-less start to the next season after he picked up the rough conduct red card, which is just silly. It was just so silly. No need for it.
Yeah, yeah. It was dumb. I mean, both teams should have been down to 10 men. Like, Lamptey should have been sent off earlier in the game. But you can't argue with the red card that Reece James got.
Yeah, no arguments there. I must admit, I didn't catch it at the time. I was just like, oh, what's happened here? And then, yeah, when you saw it on the replay, in like, and it's not just like a little nick. It's a proper, like, kick out.
It's a proper kick out.
Yeah, it's just, oh, no, you're just really, really silly to do. But, yeah, anyway, what can you do?
Yep. Oh, you don't need Reece James to win next week anyway.
Oh, hope not.
You should be right. If Gusto's fit. If not, you might have Gilchrist on the right back again.
It's all about Thiago Silva for next game week.
Yeah?
Yeah. Last game. So emotional.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely starting, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100% starting. So, yeah, he's a very emotional human. He'll probably be crying at, like, before the game even starts when he's lining up and they've got the banners out and the crowd singing his name. He'll just be crying right from the get-go.
I'm tempted to put a cheeky fiver on anytime goal scorer for Thiago Silva, actually.
Yeah.
He'll be pretty keen to get his head to a corner.
Oh, he would indeed. But anyway, that's enough about double game week 37 because we've got game week 38 to look at. So what we'll do now is we'll take a quick break, and on the other side, we're going to preview the final game week of the season and pick out one more differential for you managers out there to have a think about. Okay, welcome back to the FPL SignNet podcast, and it's time to look ahead to game week 38, the final destination, the final countdown.
I was going to let you continue to sing that. Just I wasn't going to join in.
Go down my rabbit hole.
Yeah, no. I don't have such a sweet voice as you, Pete.
My sweet voice. Sound like a chipmunk on a too much coffee.
If you've ever seen a chipmunk on too much coffee, you'll know what he means.
Hey, we've all been there.
Yeah, we have. We have.
Game week 38, the traditional Sunday 1 a.m. for us here, but...
Am I right in saying it used to be midnight? Am I just making that up? I feel like it used to be midnight.
I don't know. The last few seasons has definitely been 1 a.m.
Has it?
One, yeah.
Okay. It's very late.
I know, it's annoying. Actually, it's annoying.
Yeah. I was supposed to be working on Monday, but many, many weeks in advance, I made sure I had an annual leave day on Monday. So
4D chess, right?
I will be. Yeah, 100%. You got to. But yeah, it's the best game week of the year. You can't miss it.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. Actually, this game, last season for Game Week 38, I remember just prior to the FPL deadline, we had an earthquake here in Melbourne, and it was crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember being awake, and everything just started shaking.
Like, our earthquakes, though, were pretty piss poor, by world standards.
Yeah, it's not like a US or Japanese or Taiwan type of it.
No.
Yeah, it's enough to make you get... What was that?
It's enough to make you go, what's that? Is there a train going by?
Yeah. Hopefully there's no repeat of that. But yeah, let's start at the top. The battle for the top. Arsenal, Everton, City, West Ham. It feels like a good, because the title race is technically still alive, it's good for us FPL managers, because so many of us, you know, we might have six players from Arsenal and City heading into this game, and there's not going to be the sweat of the rotation with the team sheets. So I think we're a little bit fortunate in that aspect that we've put all of our eggs in that basket and it's still there.
Yeah, definitely. Although, speak for yourself, I'm a little short on Man City assets, you might say.
You are a little short.
I am a little short. No Haaland, that shouldn't be a problem.
No Haaland, that was fine for you. You got away with it a couple of weeks ago.
Sure. No Haaland, no worries. Look, I guess the Haaland thing for me, that's really the main decision that I had to make this game week for me, was whether I lean into the no Haaland or I fix it. And with 87K rank, I don't know, if I want to push for top 50K, taking a hit to bring in Haaland, that's not going to do it for me. If I take a hit to bring in Haaland, then maybe I can get a 5 or 10K green arrow. But I'm not going to push for top 50K by doing that. Obviously, the flip side of it is I risk dropping out of the top 100K.
What happened completely. In game week 36?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, that's obviously a massive risk, especially given the opponent, West Ham at home, they are going to concede goals. I think I'm just going to have some fun with game week 38. I think taking a, when I'm trying to push for a higher rank, taking a hit to make my team more template, is, I don't think, the right thing to do from a fun point of view. It's probably the smartest thing to do, but I'm not that kind of guy. So yeah. I think I'm going to be very short of Man City assets this week. But in terms of previewing the fixtures, what do we think about the Man City West Ham game? I'm thinking
cricket score
4-0.
Considering I was chatting again, sorry for saying it, but I mentioned this last night. Looking at West Ham's last two away games, they've conceded 5 goals their last two away games.
Yeah,
and that was prior to David Moyes coming out and saying he was leaving the club. So
the
fact now that he's basically down tools, he's been very loose with the press the last week or so since that news. It was 5-0 against Chelsea, and I think it was 5-2 against Palace in those two games, and up against a City side that will be wanting to take all the nerves out of this game by probably putting this to bed nice and early.
Yeah.
West Ham really nothing to play for. It looks bad on paper for West Ham.
It does. What I will say though is I think that a little bit of pressure for Man City can change the way a game kind of plays out. I think we saw against Spurs, Spurs kind of weren't expected to offer much resistance at all, especially considering, some of the players and fans arguably didn't even want Spurs to win, but they really did kind of dig in and probably give their best defensive performance, especially in that first half that we've seen from them in a long time. And I think we did see Man City feel the pressure to a small extent. Like there was a lot more misplaced passes than we're used to. I think you could see in the way they played that there was a little bit more pressure on that game than just the average game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I am expecting the game to at least initially start out quite tight. I don't think that West Ham can hold out for anywhere near as long as Spurs could, but I do think that we might be surprised that after 10 or 15 minutes, it's still nil all and West Ham do seem to be digging in a little bit. I think that West Ham will take a little bit of motivation in the in their ability to impact the title race. And given how well, I know Moyes is leaving, but he has done well over the last several years for them. I wouldn't be surprised if they do have a little bit of motivation to have a good performance in the last week, try to hang on as long as they can against Man City and put a little bit of pressure on them. And then we also might see that Man City get to, you know, once they eventually crack West Ham, they might then quite quickly get to 2-0, even 3-0. But from there, I think they'd probably just be happy to manage out the game.
Cruise control.
I think the good thing that's happened, the good thing that's happened in terms of, from my point of view, in giving me a little bit of optimism about the Man City game, maybe not blowing out to 5-0, 6-0, is that goal difference doesn't matter anymore. So I think once they do get to kind of 2-0 and 3-0, I think we will kind of see them just manage out the game like they have done in the past when they've gotten to 2-0 leads. You know, there's no huge need to push for more goals. And yeah, I guess I'm building a narrative in my head of how I hope the game goes.
In reality.
but I do think that there's a genuine chance that the game might pan out like that. Like West Ham might dig in for at least sort of the first half of the first half. And then once they're cracked and then it gets to, 2-0, I can see Man City maybe taking their foot off the gas a little bit and maybe just cruising out the win. I can see the same thing happening with Arsenal, to be honest. Like, I think Arsenal are going to come out like an absolute bull at a gate. But I think once again, once they get to like a 2-0, I can really see them just managing out the game. We saw how they played against Man United. Like, once they got that goal, they didn't really even seem to push too hard for a second goal. They were kind of happy enough just to bank the 1-0 win and then move on to the next fixture. So
yeah, I think they'll be nervy with the occasion.
I think from an attacking assets point of view for both Arsenal and Man City, I think the fact that goal difference doesn't matter anymore, I think that is a negative for attacking returns. I'm not sure that Arsenal are going to push for more than a couple of goals.
That said, though, Arsenal have been one of the best teams at attacking opposition like all season, and Everton are safe. They've done their big farewell at Goodison last game week.
Yep.
Like they're done. I don't think there's going to be. I have the opposite view. I think both these games could be really like high scoring for both Arsenal and City. And I don't think either team might even concede.
I don't think Arsenal's going to concede. I think there's almost no chance that Arsenal concede. I think Man City have more chance of conceding. Just because of the way that they play and the way that West Ham play, I don't know. It will be very interesting to see.
Liverpool Wolves, it's probably the next fixture with a lot of interest. Klopp's farewell. Anfield's going to be an emotional roller coaster there. So I feel like it's going to be a good showing. Liverpool will be wanting to put their best foot forward. We've seen Wolves like really tail off.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no clear option for us. It's not like Salah's been vintage Mo. Even in the game, in game week 37, he just against Villa, he had these chances, didn't take them. Sort of been the story of his second half of this season.
Yeah.
I think had he performed and returned in game week 37, then there'd be a big push for to get him into our sides. Plus, there's still no confirmation whether he's staying or going. I think maybe if he was going, we probably would have heard about it by now. So
yeah, potentially.
Potentially.
I still think though that this is the game where the goals will just absolutely fly. I think if I was going to pick a game, if someone said pick the game that's going to have the most goals out of this one, I would say with relative confidence that this is going to be the one. Yeah. I think who was I listening to yesterday? Maybe it was Net That Hall when they were saying that that Wolves have conceded like 5 goals in the last game week, like several times. Like since they've been back in the Premier League, they always tend to have difficult fixtures in the last game week, and they always get absolutely pumped.
Get whipped.
Yeah. And then the other thing that they said is that when long-term managers are having their farewell games in game week 38, it often results in absolute like crazy games where there's just tons and tons of goals. Like I think Sir Alex Ferguson's last game, it was 5-5 against West Brom. So anyway, I'm hoping
was it 5-3? Maybe it was 5-3.
No, I think it was, honestly, I think it was 5-5, but I could be wrong because I think Lukaku scored a hat-trick.
Yeah, Lukaku scored a hat-trick for West Brom.
Yeah. Anyway, I think what I'm going to be doing for my team is I'm going to be putting all of my chips on Mo Salah. I'm going to be captaining him, I think. So, I looked at live FPL today and I think I'm 25 points away from 50K, which is where I really want to push for 50K. And I'm thinking if I can get like a 15-pointer from Mo Salah, and if Haaland, say, is restricted to one goal,
I think that's the key. You need the Haaland blank to get that.
I don't necessarily need a Haaland blank. I think if he can stay to just one goal, and I can get like a double digit return from Salah, then you know that takes me part of the way to, you know, to beating the field in this game week and climbing up towards top 50K, which is what I really want.
Yeah, I like it. Some interest other players, like maybe Cody Gakpo. He's really dethroned Darwin Nunez. His numbers of late have been pretty good. So he's had 2 goals, yeah. 2 assists and started the last 4 games, I believe. So really hitting form at the right time. I know I can't imagine Klopp not starting him again, considering the form he's in.
Yeah, I think given how long Klopp kept the faith with Darwin, I think it's only fair that he rewards Gakpo with another start. Yeah. You know, like if it had been Gakpo all season and then now in this meaningless game, it was an opportunity to give Darwin an opportunity, then yeah, I can see it. But Darwin's had more opportunities than Gakpo, and Gakpo he's earned the right to play this game and to have the opportunity to score a bunch of goals against Wolves. So he's one of the players that I'm looking to bring in with my transfer this week, actually. I think Watkins is the guy that's going to go for me. And it's just which forward do I bring in? Mm. And I'm pretty confident that we'll get like the Liverpool team leaks. We usually do.
Yeah.
So if I get confirmation that Gakpo's starting, it's going to be very, very tempting to go for him. The other option probably be someone like Jackson for Chelsea, but not as much of a differential option. So I am very tempted by Gakpo.
We got Brentford Newcastle. So we saw Newcastle go to Old Trafford this morning and you know, what was it? 3-2 in the end,
3-2. I believe.
Yeah, 3-2. Yep. Isak did play though. There was, you know, the word before, you know, heading into this final game of 37 was that Isak maybe might not play, underperformed this double game week, which is a real shame. But Anthony Gordon did pretty well, scoring away, which sort of put a little bit to bed there. Anthony Gordon doesn't return away from St. James Park.
Yeah, that's right, because he's had a couple of returns recently away from home, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, a Brentford side really with nothing to play. But, yeah, it's a bit hard to know how that game goes. I wouldn't be buying Newcastle assets heading into this game.
Yeah, and it's a question of how depending on how your team looks. That's right. Depending on how your team looks, like there are a lot of people with a lot of benching dilemmas, and I can still see a lot of people deciding to bench Isak and or Gordon.
Yeah, if
And
you
they
had to
may
choose
opt.
between the two, because I think that is the common dilemma. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
who's the attacker that you leave out?
I think that you've got to bench Gordon out of those two.
Yeah.
I and one of the reasons is pens.
Yeah.
The other
Isak does
reason
have them.
is, yeah, Isak's got him. The other reason is I think that maybe if Eddie Howe's told us the truth about Isak being ill for the last week or whatever, maybe we give him a bit of a hall pass on how he's been a bit lackluster in the double game week. So if we think he's going to be recovered by game week 38, we can almost potentially expect him to be back to what we saw in the weeks prior to the double.
Yep.
If yeah, like before the double started, if you'd said Isak or Gordon, I think 99% of people would have said Isak is the one that
Yeah.
you start over Gordon. It's really only Isak's bad performance in the double that has made it a more difficult decision. So I think you've got to stick with Isak. He's the one on pens, and he's the one that away from home has been better
Yeah.
than Gordon all season. So that's what I would do. But it's a close call, that's for sure. I wouldn't really blame you if you went the other way.
Isak might feel more at home on that pitch with against Brentford with so many Scandinavians in that Brentford side anyway.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
true. That's true. That's exactly right.
He might
But
feel
yeah, in terms
he might
of
end up on the wrong side. He might think,
he
oh,
might.
actually maybe I need to play for
I was
Brentford.
going to say, like, we're not going to get an own goal, are we? We don't want that.
I won't insert IKEA jokes there. Brighton Man United. So yeah, both coming off games this morning. Brighton, I don't know, seem to be like they're one and done. United still pushing for European football, sort of. They need quite a bit to go their way. But ahead of the cup final the following weekend, there'll be a few players maybe trying to stake their claim. We saw this morning, it was players like Aman that did really well this morning. Sorry, Ahmad, I should say. He did really well. Yeah, Bruno was back, which was good, but sort of limped off.
Yeah, he wasn't fully fit, was he?
No, he didn't look fully fit. It was a bit worrying as a Bruno owner towards the end, seeing him like hold that hamstring. I
Yeah.
don't know if that was the main reason he came off, but yeah.
Yeah. Look, I think that this is one of the games that looks less appealing from an attacking point of view anyway. So
Yeah.
if I owned Bruno, I'd be very tempted to remove him, regardless of fitness, for just a higher upside midfielder.
Yeah.
Brighton have been pretty good at home recently. Like they've been much tighter at home than they have earlier in the season.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that you can probably get better attacking returns elsewhere if you've got Bruno.
Yeah, I tend to agree there. One team that's really getting a lot of attention and interest and, setting FPL sides ablaze towards the end of this season has been Crystal Palace, and they are facing Aston Villa. And so we saw the scenes. Aston Villa had their Player of the Year awards at the same time, concurrently as the City Spurs game. And then once they had confirmation they had secured Champions League football, their end of player season awards turned into like a Mad Monday. There was champagne everywhere. The dry cleaning bills for some of those really expensive suits is going to be through the roof.
And I wonder if there was a few like Jack Grealish kind of Weekend at Bernie's kind of moments the following day.
Someone mentioned Jack Grealish is probably going to
Yeah, he probably was there. He probably was there. But
there.
yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this fixture as a really targetable fixture now.
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
think so.
Aston Villa are absolutely gassed, regardless of how important this game was. They're gassed. And now that the game means absolutely nothing to them, I don't think we can expect to see a huge amount of energy put into the game from Villa. Now, on the flip side, Crystal Palace, they don't have a lot to play for either, but they haven't for weeks and they've
Yeah.
still been absolutely flying. I think that they're really relishing how well the team's gelling
It's like
towards the
they
end of the
enjoy
season.
playing football. Like they
I
can't
think
wait
they're,
just to
yeah, like
play.
they're exactly, they're playing like they're, you know, like they're playing like in the street, you know, with their mates. They're kind of
Yeah.
just really they're really looking forward to going out there every week and just, you know, showing what they can do. And they've been absolutely flying. I can see this game going in a similar way to the Man United game a couple of weeks ago, where people didn't really expect to see them win 4-0, but just the way the two teams were traveling at the time, you know, it was something that, you know, that happened. I can see that a very similar, I can see a very similar scoreline, a very similar result in this game.
Yeah.
I'm just expecting a Crystal Palace to go out there and just all out attack, and Aston Villa, who don't defend particularly well at the best of times, not just not having the energy or the motivation to stop what Palace are doing. So
yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have any hesitation in playing Crystal Palace assets or bringing in a Crystal Palace you know, attacking player.
Yeah.
For game week 38. Like, I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
Yeah, we've seen heading into this final game week, I think the most transferred in player is Michael Olise, who has been brilliant. And traditionally, well, this season as well, his attacking returns per minutes ratio is incredible. It's just his minutes on the pitch that tends to let him down. And a player that's sort of, there's a lot of talk that he might be the one in the shop window. He might be the big jewel that Palace sell on. Who knows? But he's really relishing playing at the moment, and staking a claim to make the France is like a bit of a late bolter for the France squad for the Euros. Yeah. So there's a lot for him to play for as well. And yeah, I you know, I don't hate managers bringing him in this game week.
I don't hate that at all. I think he's a fantastic final week punt. I think, was it last year that Palace was a popular final week punt as well? I think I brought him for game week 38 last year, and he blanked, unfortunately, so it didn't work out. But every year is a new opportunity. I wouldn't, yeah. I don't mind bringing in Olise, Eze, Mateta, any of those guys, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a contrast. I mean, I've seen, like, listening to just football purely shows, like, they've been talking about, like, the change in Hudson football against Glasner football. And, yeah, Hudson had similar, like, results towards the end of last season when he was able to field Olise and Eze. But it's just the difference in style of play is so contrast, whereas, like, Roy was just a 4-4-2. Sit back, wait for the opportunities and take them. Whereas Glasner's just playing, you know, he's playing the back three, the wing backs, and Eze and Olise both playing as like dual number 10s. And, you know, they're right on the shoulder with Mateta. And like, clearly all three of those players are insanely technically like incredible. And so they're just able to play off each other so much closer to goal. Whereas, yeah, before it's really labored and creating something, but and you know, players like you've had, like Munoz, who's just
my boy,
like mid-season transfers, like you don't really see do that well, but he's just been incredible since his introduction.
Yeah, exactly right. Oh, I cannot wait to have Munoz in my game week one team next season.
Oh, so yeah, a lot of love for that. I think Emi Martinez might be on a Buenos Aires beach for this game. He might not even show up for the
game.
Could
be an Olsen game.
It could be an Olsen game, yeah. But yeah, there might be a lot of dark sunglasses on those Aston Villa players as they walk out the tunnel. Just, oh, the sun's so bright.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, very good. So yeah, what have we got left? So we got the relegated teams, Burnley, Forest. Not a lot of no one's looking at this game for FPL interest, unfortunately. Luton, Fulham, both these teams. Like, I know Luton mathematically still have a chance, but
It
needs to be a 12-goal swing, and that's just not happening there. Yeah. Sheffield United Spurs. Look, a lot of us with multiple Spurs assets heading into this game.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it still feels like a great hold. It's just a shame Richarlison was ruled out heading into game week 37 that, you know, would have been a fun pick to have for this game. But
absolutely.
If Son gets another chance, does he take it?
You'd hope so. I mean, the one thing I think in favor of Spurs assets for this game is that because they lost against City, they do need a point to guarantee fifth place. So I don't think we're going to see rotation. I think we'll see Sun starting again.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, Sheffield United being the worst defense in the league and potentially worse at home than they are away from home. it's an opportunity, I think, for for Spurs to score multiple goals. So hopefully that Son can make his next one on one.
Yeah, let's see. But yeah, I mean, yeah, relegation's done. Top, I mean, European places, top four is done. Yeah, it's just basically rubber stamping the Premiership and the Conference League. But yeah, just disappointing. I think I'd seen during the week, or I heard during the week, that it's the first time since I think 98 that all three promoted sides are going straight back down. And I think last season was the first time in forever that the three promoted sides all stayed up. So
yeah,
it's pretty crazy. And we've already seen, you know, Ipswich and Leicester confirm their introduction back to the Premier League for next season. Ipswich will be fun. There'll be a lot of young guns out there that won't remember the Tractor Boys, but when you're as old as me and you.
Yeah, that's right.
Fond memories of Matty Holland playing for Ipswich back in the day. So
hopefully we've got Leeds back in next year as well. We've got very big game tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
For Leeds.
Tomorrow morning's a big one.
Huge. Very much hope that we've got Leeds back in the Premier League next year. I think they're a good addition to the Premier League.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Definitely there. But last goodwill punting for the season.
Hang on a sec. I think you've skipped over potentially the most important fixture of the week for you, mate.
Did I? Oh, Chelsea-Bournemouth, of course. I forgot about Chelsea-Bournemouth.
Yeah. How could you forget Chelsea?
How could I forget? Play them all. Captain Palmer. Yeah. Thiago Silva, bring him in. Look, it's going to be Chelsea now in that Conference League spot. So I think a win will definitely cement that. I don't think they can finish fifth, I think, or sixth, really.
Yeah.
Trying to remember what they are at the moment.
Let me have a quick look at the table. I mean,
they're sitting sixth.
They're in, okay. So they can go level with Tottenham with a win, and they've got better goal difference than Tottenham. But that requires Tottenham to lose to Sheffield United, which is probably not
that requires happen. The ultimate Spurs up of Spurs ups.
It would be so Spurs for that to happen. But I think now's a good opportunity for me to ask you, though, like, if you're in my position and you have, like, I think Watkins is probably an obvious transfer out for me. So
yeah,
should I go Nick Jackson? Or is there more opportunity from an upside differential point of view with someone like Gakpo?
I think with the Jackson move, like, you're almost, he's going to play 80 odd minutes, I think, what we saw today. He might even play 90. It's the last game of the season, so there's no reason. And the only other forward option they have is Nkunku, who played a lot of minutes today. So I don't see Nkunku starting the next game. I think the club will be very cautious not to push him too hard. Just get him over the line and get him ready for next season.
Yeah.
We'll sort of talk about Cody Gakpo before. Yeah, I think, I mean, Gakpo feels like a 70-odd minute type of play, but it's hard. It's really hard. It's like it's a case of, like, choose your own narrative with all these games. Like, we've both come to some of these games with different perspectives, like regarding Arsenal and City and...
Yeah,
it's like we don't know until we know.
You don't know until you know. I guess if I was to pick out a game that I think there's going to be a lot of goals in, it probably is that Liverpool one. I'm already going extremely differential with Salah as captain, which, you know, most people don't even own. And then so going Gakpo instead of Nick Jackson is really just pushing all of my chips in on Liverpool scoring a lot of goals, which I think they will.
Yeah.
If there's a goal which involves both Salah and Gakpo, one assisting the other, then that's absolutely going to skyrocket my rank. So I feel like I'm maximizing my ceiling that way. But if I'm already moving, moving to Jackson is moving towards the template. Maybe that is sensible though, because I think Salah captain is moving far away enough from the template that, you know, I don't need to double down on it, but yeah, I don't know. True. I'm not sure what the right thing to do is. I'm really not.
Well, hopefully Cole Palmer will be, heading into this game as the young player of the year. I was mentioning to you earlier that someone spotted his lock screen on his phone heading into the Brighton Stadium today was the trophy of the young player of the year. Some eagle-eyed Chelsea fans noticed that. So
maybe
Cold Palmer knows something that we don't. But
or maybe he's just sending vibes into the universe.
Hey, why not? Yeah, put it out there and see what happens. But that's going to be a fun game. I think Chelsea will actually be really trying hard to win that game. Last game at Stamford Bridge, Thiago Silva's farewell. There's actually a bit to play for this Chelsea side. And the vibes are great. They're actually winning games. They're scoring goals. Scoring tons of goals. And we've seen at Stamford Bridge, they can really pile it on. So, I think if you're a double Chelsea attack owner or even triple, it's going to be a good game week there. But, good with punting. I had Noni Madueke. He did nothing. Hold off at around 60 minutes for both games. You had Callum Wilson.
He did less.
So, we're finishing on a high. But who are you picking for game week 38?
Game week 38, I have gone with I've gone with Cody Gakpo.
Cody Gakpo.
I mean, there's no need. He does have four returns in his last four starts, and he seems to have taken that the starting spot from Darwin. So I think given how many goals Liverpool are likely to score, I think he's an excellent final week punt. He's only 2.4% owned, 7.1 million.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really good punt. I'm sticking with Liverpool as well. I'm going with Harvey Elliott, 4.8 million, 0.3% owned. He's actually been starting a lot of games of late. Klopp's talked about recently his regret over these last couple of seasons has been not giving Harvey Elliott enough minutes. And we've seen recently with those regular minutes, like he's had three returns just in the last two game weeks alone. And he started four out of the last five. So he feels a little bit more on the secure side if you're going to take that risk. And at that price, it's also that enabling ability. And that, maybe you need to drop funds in the midfield to upgrade, might be managers like yourself looking to get a Haaland. Maybe that's the avenue of dropping one to get another. But yeah, I feel like you said, that feels like the game that's going to be a lot of goals in it. So just getting an extra ticket to the raffle because, I mean, we'd all love Salah, but it's the funds. Trying to get the second most expensive player in the game is proving to be very tricky without a hit.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the fact that Salah blanked against Aston Villa has meant that people have gone, you know what, it's not worth it. I'm not taking a hit for Salah. Yeah. If he'd scored a brace in that game, then I think we would have seen a lot more people clamoring to get Salah in 100%. And willing to spend a hit.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I don't think what he did against Villa makes it any more or less likely that he's going to haul against against Wolves. But if you do want to still, take a hit and get to Salah, I think that Harvey Elliott is probably one of a couple of players that are the perfect route to do it. Him or even like someone like Callum Hudson-Odoi, who I think is about the same price.
Yeah.
Those are probably the two players that I would use as enablers to get to Salah.
Yeah.
To generate funds to get to Salah.
I like it. My captain, top three picks.
Haaland, home to West Ham.
Haaland.
If you have Haaland, then you should captain Haaland.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, he's got Golden Boot wrapped up. Cole Palmer's not going to catch him. I think he's on 27 goals. But considering he scored, six goals in his last three games, we know he loves playing at the Etihad as well and really loves massacring teams that are not prepared.
He does. But Man City have had, I think, four pens in the last three games, something like that. Like, I mean, I was going to say, surely it can't continue. I mean, it absolutely can continue. But, number two, I've got Salah. I can't see a world where Salah doesn't return. And I think a double-digit haul is pretty likely. So I've gone Salah. And then third, I've gone Palmer. I think I accidentally put Havertz in because Palmer is going to be my third choice.
Yeah.
He's I think, he's, what has he got, 21, 22 goals this season?
Yeah, 21.
He, I think, Yeah, I think he scored this morning. Was that his
Yeah.
21st, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful
I think
header.
he's equaled like Frank Lampard's best ever goal scoring season for Chelsea, I think.
Yeah.
So pretty incredible,
I know. The
you know, what
company,
he's achieved.
yeah, the company he keeps reaching like at Chelsea, and it's crazy to think he's only just turned 21.
Yeah.
I'm going with, yeah, Haaland, Foden, and then Palmer. They're my top three. Three picks. Like I said, if you're willing to chase and try and, you know, make that last season push, I really like Foden as an option there to take on the Nordic midfield. But I'm a safe-ish manager, so I'll be doing Haaland. But bus team, doot doot, as we head in. You're back to your side where you did you get a bit of a shock when it popped back up on your screen after the free hit?
I did. I mean, one of the reasons why I've decided to stick with no Haaland is that I look at my bus team and there's really none of those attacking players that I would really want to get rid of. Like
Yeah.
my midfield's Palmer home to Bournemouth, Wolves home to sorry, Salah home to Wolves, Son against Sheffield United, Saka home to Everton, Foden home to West Ham. So yeah, like I think if I was to get Haaland, I'd have to remove Son,
Yep.
and it just seems wrong to take to spend 4 points to take Son out when he's playing Sheffield United. So that's kind of one of the reasons why I've kind of made my bed with no Haaland this game week. And yeah, apart from that, I think I'll probably play Isak. I think I'll probably
Yep.
start Isak, and then the other forward that I'll play will be whoever I bring in for Watkins. And one player I will definitely be starting is my mate Munoz from Crystal Palace.
Up against a hungover Aston Villa.
Yeah, that's right. What about yourself? Your bus team looking pretty good?
Yeah, bus team's looking great. So, yeah, benching headaches between Gordon and Ezak, but I think I'll lean towards Ezak with the pens like we talked about. But yeah, my one free transfer most likely be Bruno. I think I'll be removing him. I really liked Kai Havertz a lot this season, so I think I'll be getting him in. Just gives me that triple arsenal for that Everton game because, like you said, they'll be pushing as well. Maybe try to put a bit of pressure on City for that word to filter through. But yeah, I'll just quickly run down the FPL Signet Podcast League. So Mahesh is still leading, so holding on. Got a pretty juicy lead there too, so it's going to take a lot for Mahesh to lose top spot. Followed by Ashley, FPL Crisis, our good friend, just rocketing at the end of the season. Used his triple captain on Haaland, so that worked out pretty good for him there. And Rahul is sitting third. Manager of the game week is our friend PSB Partha. So with his side PSB Eindhoven, and PSB knocked me out last week in the FPL Cygnet Cup. So yeah, really, really good game week. 145 points. Petrovic, Pedro Porro, Vardiol, Walker, Bruno Fernandes, Son, Maddison, Palmer, Jackson, Haaland, captain. Also had Raya, Dan Burn, Gabriel, and Mateta. So incredible achievement there. Yeah, that wraps it up.
Mate, it's been a wild ride.
It's been a while, right? Thanks to everyone out there for listening. Remember, you can follow at FPL underscore point break and at FPL Signet. And yeah, thanks for all the likes and tweets. Good luck for heading into game week 38. Hopefully, you get lots of green arrows or win your mini leagues, but we'll be back to discuss it all next week. Good luck, Andrew.
Good luck, mate. May Haaland somehow blank.
I hope not. Go the Nordic Meat Shield. Let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.